Hey, this is Steve the Lemon Sour with Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out, and you're listening to the Ramble On podcast.
John Bonham, the drummer for Led Zeppelin, is dead at the age of 32.
To me, hands down, John Bonham's the best rock drummer ever.
The European tour did have one show canceled because Bonham was physically exhausted.
The style and the sound was so identifiable to one person.
We do not know the cause of death. There will be a post-mortem in due course.
He was actually better than anybody else.
Bonham was found lying in bed by John Paul Jones after a night's sleep at Jimmy Page's home.
Could you imagine the cop telling his superintendent, like, you know, who do you have? He goes, well, I have the drummer with Led Zeppelin. The drummer with the Beatles, Inspector Clouseau, Peter Sellers, and Oliver Reed.
Hello, this is Achilles Gardner. Yes, that's right, I've been to the courthouse, and like George F. Blackburn of Metalto, Missouri, who changed his name to Led Zeppelin II, I am now Achilles Last Stand Gardner. Last name Achilles, middle names Last and Stand. On the government paperwork, it comes out as Gardner, Achilles LS. Unlike Mr. Zeppelin II of Bethalto, Missouri, who said his life has improved a thousandfold after changing his name, nothing much has changed in my life, except for I'm mocked a lot more. I was hoping to have some intro music for you before. I'm working on it. I'm halfway through it. It's Chopin's Prelude No. 4, which Jimmy Page did on the Death Wish 2 soundtrack. We talked about that last time, and it occurred to me that is actually not his music. It's Chopin's music, and it's in the public domain. So I have a bass track laid down, a keyboard track laid down, very similar to what Page did with it. And I'm going to piecing in a slide guitar part that sounds somewhat, it's based on the arrangement that Jimmy Page did, let's put it that way, but it is in fact Chopin's notes. But it's not ready this week. We did have that little intro, the John Bonham stuff. And I'm going to dig into that fairly quickly. First off, thank you for listening. This is the fourth, number four of Ramble On, the podcast. It's going well. The last time we had Steve Sauer interview, and it went fairly well. And a little follow-up on that, actually. We talked a bit about a Yardbirds box set that we had heard about, and that was back in February, actually. Both of us wrote about it. And I contacted them, and they've had a problem with, basically the guy who does their promo has been ill. So it's a smaller company, and they got back to me. We have stock in October for November release, believe it or not. We have unfortunately had serious illness problems with our web guy, which prevented us from getting pre-sale off. But AMO, my printer's acting funny, but there's also a t-shirt as part of the deal. So it's out there, it's going to be ready. And thanks for Steve for bringing it up and reminding me about it. And thanks to the guys at Easy Action. That's easyaction.co.uk is where to get it. And actually, they have another one coming up soon. That is Dexy's Midnight Runners, a live show and DVD, which I was quite interested in. I may get that. And I'm trying to remember offhand, the box set was going to be £59 or some number like that. I don't remember offhand. Jeez, that wasn't the first thing I was going to do anyway, right? So we'll start anyway with John Bonham. John Bonham's the 31st anniversary of the death of John Bonham was last Sunday, marked by many radio stations around. As you heard, I put together a little clip of some quotes and a little drum sample there. And Glenn Hughes marked on his Facebook page, poor Glenn, happy birthday to my dear departed brother John. Thank you for the music, but more importantly for being a great friend. Your son rocks. All as far as we know, quite true, but obviously it wasn't his birthday, it was the anniversary of his death, as somebody on the interweb was kind enough to point out. And, you know, he knows that he just screwed up. You know, but somebody wrote, what was it? I thought he was such a good friend. You'd think a good friend would know what day it was. Well, he just typed it wrong. He just, you know, it's what you do. You write a happy birthday 50 times a year. Yeah, you're doing something like that, and you just, your fingers go there. I don't read anything into that. I honestly don't have much to say about John Bonham at this stage. It's been 31 years. Everything's been said. I mentioned last week with Steve. The older I get, the more I appreciate what Bonham actually brought to the table as a drummer. And it's just that groove, the swing he brought to the songs. These such hard rock songs, and they just had this, you know, this soul to them that was brought by the drums. And so that's about all I have to say on Bonham. And not much news. John Paul Jones not in the news this week. Jimmy Page not really in the news this week. Going through, you know, we've been going through the last few weeks this day ons. And there's nothing to report this time. Nothing there. He went to Bangkok. They were in Japan, a couple of home videos, and, you know, the Yardbirds did this and that. But there was nothing spectacularly interesting from the Jimmy Page the last 2 weeks. You know, unless you like home movies of India, I suppose. Robert Plant, on the other hand, was busy the last 2 weeks. Robert Plant premiered a new band. We talked last time about what was he doing in Texas. He premiered a new band called Crown Vic at the El Camino Festival in Marfa, Texas, with Patty Griffith. Patty Griffith was on the schedule at Marfa. And Plant joined, they called the band Crown Vic, with local Texas musicians David Grisham, Michael Ramos, Glenn Fukunaga, and Don Wynn. Michael Ramos played organ and accordion, a lot of accordion in this, and they didn't sing with the accordion song, I Don't Want Her, You Can Have Her, She's Too Fat For Me, but just about everything else along those lines, I guess. Here's the set list. Tear It Up, don't know what version it would have been, you know, it's old bluegrass and blues stuff they did. But Tear It Up, Lonely Avenue, the Ray Charles song, You Can't Judge a Book by Looking at the Cover, which was a Willie Dixon song once done by Bo Diddley, and I think most of us would know it as a Bo Diddley song. Robert Plant probably knows it as a Willie Dixon song. Rich Woman, which was Plant and Krause covered that song themselves. Don't, which is an old Elvis song, plus Led Zeppelin songs, Black Dog, Misty Mountain Hop, and Rock and Roll. That's what I've got. There's probably more. I don't know if there was more. That's what I've kind of been able to sum up, been able to get that. That is that. And then yesterday, Saturday, sorry, the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, Robert Plant, and this is from Achilles' Last Stand. Led/Zeppelin.org, website called Achilles' Last Stand, and he says, he reports, Robert Plant and the Band of Joy opened up yesterday's lineup, the Banjo Stage, the Hardly Strict Bluegrass Festival in San Francisco, California. That was Friday. Plant was joined by the usual Band of Joy crew, minus drummer Marco Giovanni, who was replaced by the stand-in. Of course, Robert Plant will be joining Patty Griffith today, Saturday, with her set on the Rooster Stage, and with Buddy Miller on the Gold Stage Sunday. I haven't heard if he did play with Patty Griffith, if he did play with Buddy Miller. Wouldn't surprise at all if he did. Get this set list. They performed extended hillbilly jams on Black Dog, Thank You, Ramble On, Black Country Woman, Gallows Pole, Bronyard Stomp, Misty Mountain Hop. If you're going to play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Led Zeppelin songs, call Jimmy Page, for crying out loud. It's one thing to throw in Black Dog and, you know, whatever, ruin whatever song you want to ruin, I guess. On top of that, they did Angel Dance, Shine It All Around, and In the Mood, as well as a cover of Johnny Cash's Satisfied Mind. So yeah, more than 50% Led Zeppelin songs. Really. You know, so as a fan, isn't this frustrating? Am I the only guy? This is so frustrating. He'll talk about, oh, I don't want to play those songs anymore. Just the boy band I was once in. And then he goes off and he plays those boy band songs. You know, if you don't want to play them, shut up and don't play them. And if you feel like you got to play a whole lot of Love or rock and roll, do it. You know, but 7 out of 11 songs are Led Zeppelin songs? You know, and there's a brand new band in Marfa, Texas. Nobody paid their money to come and see. Well, they did, but that was on the rumor that he was going to show up. It was never scheduled as Robert Plant playing. So he was under zero obligation to play any Led Zeppelin songs, and he plays 3. And he plays them with an accordion. And, you know, this hillbilly bluegrass version of rock and roll he's been playing. Oh, good Lord. If anybody else did it, he'd be on Rolling Stone magazine bitching about how they're butchering his song. But, oh, it's him, so he's allowed. And it is his song, and he's allowed, I guess. But, you know, don't whine that everybody wants you to play Led Zeppelin songs when you go out there and play 11 Led Zeppelin songs. Don't say you don't want to do it. Don't say you're not interested in playing with the guys because you don't like that music anymore, and that music doesn't mean anything to you anymore. You can't relate to it. Is that what he said in Rolling Stone last year? You can't relate to that music anymore. Well, you know, 7 out of 11, that's called relating. I wasn't going to go into that beef, but, well, I did. that's what you get. I did. Also, this one, a couple of things turned up today. Robert Plant has apparently moved to Marfa, Texas, and we don't know what this means. Something strange happened last week. This is from the New York Times, actually. Leading up. I haven't read the full article yet. I'm not about to start. But apparently, it's a coup for Austin to call itself home to Mr. Plant. We'll leave it to Millie Wells and faithful Led Zeppelin fanatics to argue who the biggest resident rock star is. Yeah, Willie Nelson's bigger than Robert Plant. But I guess he's moving to the Austin area, and it sounds actually like he's going to be working with Crown Vic. And so it sounds like this band is going to be his next project. And look, I missed one. Speaking of next projects, Robert Plant, it was reported last week, will be teaming up, and I missed this, I absolutely didn't have this in my schedule, but Robert Plant will be teaming up with tenor Alfie Bowe. Alfie Bowe is known in the opera and more specifically the theater world of London. He's currently the voice of Les Miserables, is Jean Valjean in Les Miserables, but it's been 20 years since I've seen Les Miserables, so I don't remember the part. But he and Plant have done a jointly done, let me find it, Tim Buckley's Song to the Siren, which will be on Bowe's new album, Alfie, when it is released on October 31st, the end of this month. Yes, happy October. It's now October. So Halloween, that's released. And Plant covered Song to the Siren on Dreamland, I think it was. And he did it quite a bit with Strange Sensation Live. He covered that song live a lot. So now other people have said that a whole album, so this is one song in the album. Other people have said a tour, or some shows, whole album are coming down the line. I haven't read anything credible on that. I've seen it's clear that they've recorded one song. There seems to be suggestion they're going to do something in a show. Almost sounds more like Robert Plant will show up at one or three of Alfie Bowe's concerts and they'll reproduce this. He's doing a UK tour starting in December, so there seems to be a suggestion that Plant will show up, but. But some people are making it sound like there's going to be an album. There's going to be, and maybe there is. Maybe I'm missing something. I do love this. The first person to actually release Song of the Siren was Pat Boone. So this is Robert Plant covering a Pat Boone song. you know, if you want to look at it that way. But yeah, I guess we all grow and develop as artists. It's a song he obviously likes. It's an important song to him. That's obvious. Been obvious through the years. So that is. And last but least, this one turned up tonight. Logan Plant, Robert Plant's son, Logan, has left the band Sons of Albion. They did a gig on Monday in London. Hadn't played together. Hadn't done anything in quite a, since like the spring. They did some shows. They're in New York and did some shows, and they released the single, made it available on the website, sort of thing, and kind of dropped off. They were talking about America in the fall, and it didn't happen. They announced kind of last week, in the middle of last week, they were playing on Monday, and then tonight, this is Sunday night, October 2nd, the word dropped that Logan was leaving Sons of Albion. Whether he was actually playing with them on Monday, that, I don't know. I have not heard one way or the other how that show went. Hey, if you're from London, if you caught Sons of Albion Monday night, I'd like love to hear, actually. Was Logan Plant in the band at that time? How did it go? How was the show? And finally, some Jason Bonham. Not Jason so much, I guess, Black Country Communion, voted the top new band of the last 10 years. How's that? Top band of the last 10 years. That is by VH1's Metal, That Metal Show. They listed Black Country Communion, the English American rock supergroup featuring talents of was voted best new band of the last 10 years by That Metal Show, Hosetti Trunk, Jim Florentine, and Don Jameson cast their votes and made their final decision during the September 17th episode, with BCC beating out hard rock metal favorites Chickenfoot, Buck Cherry, Danko Jones, and Five Finger Death for spot number one. So top band of the last 10 years, That Metal Show. That's kind of a cool thing, considering they really seem to be working under the function of as a part-time band more than a full-time band. That's really quite impressive. Also on the Black Country Canadian front, they are, we've talked about it before, they're releasing a DVD live over Europe. The DVD features songs from the first two albums, and I think the only, I've sat and prepared all this, and then I didn't, I think the Deep Purple song is a Burn, maybe the only song they're actually performing that's not from their first two albums, one of the Deep Purple songs they do anyway. So it's not going to have No Quarter on it, but it is, it was recorded this summer in Europe, a couple of Europe shows, 14 cameras they're talking about, and it's released in October, Monday the 21st, is it? And that'll be Europe, and on the, we're Tuesday, oh, maybe it's the 31st, anyway. One night only, Tuesday, November 1st, participating View Cinemas in England will screen at Black Country Communion's debut concert film live over Europe. You can pre-book the tickets via myview.com/BCC. The participating View Cinemas are as follows. London, West End, Cambridge, Oxford, Portsmouth, Exeter, Bristol, Doncaster, Leicester, Hull, Leeds, York, Birmingham, Edinburgh, Dublin, Bury, and Swansea. So that's not just England, that's UK, right? Dublin is not even UK, that's Ireland itself. It's the Republic. Edinburgh is, of course, UK. I don't know, Swansea, is that? That might be in Wales even. But it looks like it's across the islands. Let's put it that way. 14 cinemas, I think I said. 16 cinemas. I wish they were doing it out here. I'd love to go, you know, get my face blown off by the music and just, but of course, I live in Canada and Black Country Communion doesn't care about Glenn Hughes. Do you listen? Black Country Communion does not care about our Canadian fans. I had the album out the other day and two buddies here. One's going, oh, these guys are great. And another one who knows everybody, loves every music, goes to hundreds of concerts. Never heard of them. Well, you know, they never come. So guys, you know, time to get over here. Get into some other markets other than just, you know, damn it. Put the show on over here too. Get with it. Get with the program. Get with us. Anyway. That's so if you're in England, that might be worth doing on November 1st. And this DVD is being released at the end of the month. I think it's October 21st, 24th maybe. I think it's the 21st, and that'll be in England, Europe. 22nd would be Canada, U.S. I believe that's the dates. And I think Blu-ray is in might be November 1st, might be what they're celebrating with the thing. That's maybe Blu-ray. That's about it for news for Led Zeppelin. There just was not a lot. Just the way it sure was. Now, last week and other times, this is when I would throw an interview in. I had something set up. I had Dave Lewis from Tight But Loose, which I was really kind of excited about. He's bigger name than the rest of us blogger types. Dave Lewis, when he was a young man, 21, 22, in 1978, started a web magazine, way ahead of that curve, wasn't he? He started a fan magazine, a Led Zeppelin fan magazine, based on the punk magazines that were out at the time. He put an ad in one of the local as in London, I guess, or one of the local music mags on the back, Led Zeppelin fanzine. Within 2 years, you know, he was following these guys around their European tour. He was hanging out backstage. He was in the pit. Taking pictures, he's meeting the guys at the bar. He's been to Jimmy Page's house after the demise. He actually met Jimmy Page at the Swanson offices late in 1980, where he showed him the stage setup and the lighting rig for the planned upcoming American tour. So you know, he wasn't on staff. They weren't lugging him around, getting him stuff, but he had some real good access to the band. And that was within 2 years. So he's an exciting guy to talk to. I was looking forward to it. Problem being, I've been doing this stuff by Skype, and he's not set up on Skype. And it just didn't happen on time to do this. I really hope I'll get him on some other time, very near future. Maybe in the next couple of podcasts. I actually got a couple ideas for the next couple of podcasts. I'm going to try and get some guys on that are wows, but maybe not. Well, Dave Lewis would be a wow, actually, too. But while we have Dave, and, you know, there's news in the Dave Lewis type of loose world anyway. There's quite a bit of this kind of news. First off, his newest edition of Tight But Loose is out. It's actually, it's arrived. I have mine. Got it the other day. I have not had a chance to do that. Been sitting for a day and a half on page 2. That's as far as I've got on it. This is issue number 30. So it's 1978 he started this. I said 30 issues later, and this is, you know, nowadays he's doing them in full color. They're 50 pages. They're about 30 pages. All sorts of stuff going on. He's really putting together a nice magazine, a really nice package. Let's see, this one has, I will review it fully next week, because I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it does talk about Jimmy Page on stage with Donovan, Led Zeppelin in 1971, he's been doing kind of a, you know, year by year, each issue, he's doing the next period of time, so he's up to 1971, tribute to Howard Mallette, who, I just ordered his book, Led Zeppelin. I had it, and I've been scouring the house for it, so I went on eBay and got a copy. It's common. Review of Black Country Communion at High Voltage. Robert Plant and the Band of Joy stomping across Europe. And the thing I'm most looking forward to reading, because, and this may be an insight into my mind, the Zeppfest 2011 debacle. So for those who don't know, there was going to be a Zeppfest in Washington this summer. This spring, actually, back in May. And Dave Lewis was one of the guys who was supposed to go there, and he had already sent his new book, The Feather in the Wind, had sent copies over. He was going to sign, have a table out, sell books. And he was invested in some cash for this thing himself, personally. And it fell apart about a week before, and there were hints that it was going to fall apart. Some people were on top of that, knew, you know, it just could smell it. And Dave Lewis wasn't one of them, unfortunately for Dave. Would have been fun to talk to him about that. That's what, if I do, and when I do talk to him, that'll be one of the issues I bring up. He's also re-releasing, I've talked about his Nebworth book, 79. If you get Then As It was called Nebworth 1979. If you go back to the first podcast when I reviewed Feather in the Wind, I also talked about it being kind of a companion piece to Then As It Was and said, buy them both. If you have a Zeppelin fan on your Christmas list, buy them both, give them to them. Happy, happy, happy. What I didn't know was, I guess they're out of Then As It Was. You couldn't order, I'm guessing. But he's doing a re-edition with new cover. Here's our quote, revamped limited edition being released with new content and color. I don't know what content. I always kind of hate that sort of thing because I went and bought the first edition and now I'm thinking, oh, I need to buy the second edition. Am I missing something? And so I always kind of hate when it almost feels like the, you know, and I know everybody does. I'm not picking on Dave. Everybody does this. This is, you know, you upgrade it as you go. But if you bought way back when, you kind of go, oh, well, it's a different book than what I got now. And I don't have all the same information. On the other hand, if you buy it later in the day, then you win. So there's good and bad to it, right? He also has a back edition starter pack available. 5 Tight But Loose magazines for £8 plus postage. So postage will be depending on where you live. And I think it is the last 5. Issue 16, December 2002. 25, December 2009. 26, May 2010. 27, September 2010, 28, December 2010, all 5 of those. The cool one, I don't have December 2002. I would go, you know, and I have to find out if you can buy back issues. I don't know if you can, because I think I would like to nose through the back issue updates and see what they have. As well, he has a t-shirt, a Feather in the Wind t-shirt. He's been advertising that one for a while. It's a black shirt. Kind of has the cover from the book on it. It's kind of a cool shirt. And early January is the next edition, including New Horizons 71, UK Tour Logs, Led Zeppelin 4 at 40, Surrey University 68, Howard Mallett Tribute Interview Part 2, and more. So that's coming up with Dave. I wish I would have got Dave on here, but it's just not to be, I'm afraid. I mentioned earlier the Yardbirds box set. I just kind of scrolling through my list of stuff, and here I've actually found what I wanted to say. It's called Glimpses 1963 to 68 Rarities. It's £34.99. I think it's 5 CDs. I have requested a review copy and have been turned down. And this is kind of a first. I unless I'm serious about reviewing something, I try not to ask for a review copy. But every time, I've always been told yes. Now, sometimes it never came. That's happened. Black Country Communion 2 is an example of that. And I'm not going to sit and whine, you won't send me a review copy, but that means no guarantees it'll be reviewed. No guarantees I will be sitting here talking about it, because there's no guarantees I'm sending anybody £35. It's just, it's the way of the beast. It depends on the way things go. I might get it when it comes out. I'll look at it. It'll probably depend more on my mood at the time. No guarantees on that. Eddie Kramer has a book coming out. Actually, not just a book, but a documentary film and a book. Kramer is, in 2012, he's celebrating the 50th year in the business and his 70th birthday. So he was nice and 20 when he got into the business. Kramer, for those who don't know, is a sound engineer, quite a significant one. He did work with Led Zeppelin, and I'm trying to think offhand. I think Led Zeppelin won. I think he was the engineer and Jimmy Page has talked before about really all he did was, you know, when Jimmy was doing a solo, he said, push that button and don't touch anything. But I think that was Eddie Kramer. Anyway, he's worked with everybody. He's one of these guys. He's worked with so many people. And I guess took a lot of pictures at the time as well. Anyway, he's got a movie coming out, a documentary movie, as well as a book on his life in the business. What'll be in the book, who knows? What interesting Led Zeppelin tidbits will be there. That's a book I'll probably get. I'll have to see. Sometimes these things can be funny. I can't get it over here and that sort of thing. But assuming I can get my hands on it, assuming it's reasonably priced, I'll almost certainly buy it and read it. And whatever it says about Led Zeppelin, I'll happily report to you guys. That's as it should be, right? And there is also a new ebook, a couple of ebook stories. Ebooks are, of course, the big, big, big thing. I have a Kobo. I like it. I love what it does. I don't like the product itself. It must be said. Hoping to get an iPad next year, personally. But anyway, a couple of years, maybe 5-7 years ago, there was a book called Whole Lot of Lead by Ralph Hewlett and Jerry Prochnicki. And here's the bio in the book. Jerry Prochnicki has been researching the Led Zeppelin story for more than 40 years. He was the co-author of Breakout Through, The Life and Death of Jim Morris. Ralph Hewlett is a rock photographer and writer whose work has appeared in music magazines and television programs such as VH1's Behind the Music. The two co-authored Whole Lot of Lead, Our Flight with Led Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin, Good Times, Bad Times, the visual biography of the ultimate band. So Whole Lot of Lead... is another visual with lots of pictures and the story of them with Led Zeppelin. And they are releasing it just, it's new. They're releasing it as an ebook. New pictures, some new stories, some new pictures, strictly in the ebook format. As well as that, I noticed when I, at page 2 of my Tight But Loose, Frank Redden, who I'm going to have to get on this podcast too. Frank lives actually just up the street from me. He did a great book. He had intended to do 3 books in a series called Sonic Boom. Volume 1 was called Break and Enter, and it's like an encyclopedia of, you know, the first year of Led Zeppelin's life. First year, year and a bit. It covers all the gigs, covers the first album almost to death. Goes into the second album. He's huge amount of data that he's got, and he's going to do 3 different books. My understanding is, because he self-published and just kind of found that it wasn't the great experience, I guess, that he was hoping it would be. There were difficulties self-publishing a big hardcover book like that, and so he's not doing 2 and 3. However, it says on, like I said, page 2 of Tight But Loose, coming soon, ebook version of Sonic Boom, The Impact of Led Zeppelin, Volume 1, forward by Dave Lewis. And if you go to enzeplopedia.com, enzeplopedia.com/ebook-waitlist. And you'd be the first to know when it's available for purchase. And when it's, I'm going to keep a track of that. And I'm going to try to get Frank on something. He's one of the guys, kind of, I've written a little list of people I'm thinking might come on. I mean, you know, the obvious list of people you want on. Well, Jimmy Page. you know, those guys. But more legitimately are people who do the sort of thing I do, which is Frank Redden and Dave Lewis. They're on a different level, but they're still kind of promoting their products themselves, so they're usually happy to do that sort of thing. So I'm hoping Frank will come on at some point. That's about it. I did have an email from, normally I do the emails at the beginning, I forgot this time, just from Steve Sauer, who was on last time, and literally said, you gotta be loud or can't hear you loud enough. That's really a technical issue more than a talk louder, get closer to the microphone. I think I've done that. tonight. I hope it has. I'd love to hear from you. It's rambleon at briangardner.ca, briangardiner.ca. Please let me know what you thought. Go to the webpage for the it's rambleon. BrianGardner.ca/RambleOn. If you just search Brian Gardner Ramble On, you don't even have to get the spelling right. Just Google Brian Gardner Ramble On. You'll sooner or later come to this. And then there's a little website there. Or you can go at podbean.com and the Ramble On. My actual username is I am Brian Dammit. All one word, two M's and Dammit. A username I put together way back in the Netscape days when it was recommending things like Brian is already taken, Brian Gardner is already taken, how about Brian Gardner 756, and I was frustrated, typed in I am Brian Dammit, and that was available. So if you ever see I am Brian Dammit on the internet, it's probably me. There's been one place where I couldn't get it, and I'm actually two, and one of them I figured for sure. The other one is a maybe, that it's not so much I couldn't get it as it was me and I have no idea what the password I used. So it's, if you see I am Brian Dammit, say hi. It's probably me. But anyway, this is iambriandammit.podbean.com. That's where the podcast is pushed out of. And thank you for listening. It's been, the subscriptions have been going up, have gone up quite a bit the last week. I'm not sure what happened there, but people seem to be slowly but surely finding it, and I'm kind of refining the webpage. You know, as you heard at the beginning with the intro bit, I'm kind of trying to refine what it is I'm doing. And it's, next week is 5, so it really should be almost professional by then. And that's it. So thank you for listening. And this is Achilles Gardner. So I haven't changed the name of those. US or the USBs of the web pages also. It's still briangardner.ca, ramble on the website, ramble on the podcast. And I will see you.